let me in. Shiba shiba, I wanna be closer to you. Shiba shiba, open up your soul. Shiba shiba, let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew. Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. There are lots of things to be enjoyed. There's amazing musicians here, there, and abroad. And they're here, and they're going to talk about this amazing organization called Living Jazz and their upcoming tribute to the MLK tribute to Sly Stone. I'd like to welcome Ryan Nicole and Sundra Manning. Hello.
Hey.
Hi. How you doing?
So we're going to start with you, sure. And ask, tell me a little bit about what you are doing with this and how you got involved with Living Jazz.
Absolutely. So my name is Ryan Nicole, and I am the host of this event.
Ooh.
Coming up on January 17th. Mm-hmm. In the name of love, a tribute to Sly and the Family Stone, honoring the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. This is my third year hosting the event. I had
nice.
The opportunity to host it a few years back, where we honored Stevie Wonder.
Uh-huh.
And then we did Aretha Franklin last year, and this is my third one, and I'm so excited.
Nice. And your involvement?
I started with Living Jazz a few years back doing the Jam Camp West.
Mm-hmm.
Jam Camp West and Jazz Camp West, teaching for the camps during the summers. And then they asked me to join in to the Living Jazz tribute concerts, where I started playing the pipe organ.
Ooh.
at the Paramount Theater in, uh-huh, Oakland. It's in the historic pipe organ.
Mm-hmm.
So I play that, and then I run up to this main stage after an hour playing that organ, and then I play the other organ, the B3 organ, with the keyboards, with the house band and the orchestra. So it's been a fantastic experience, and I'm just so happy to be included again this year.
Now, did the two of you know each other before?
Oh, yeah.
This is
the legendary Sundra Manning. She's so modest and humble.
Oh,
she's played everywhere with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
She is a legend on the B3 organ. If you need anybody to play organ on any track, live, whatever, she's the person to call.
Ooh, I'm going to keep that.
Thank you,
mind.
Ryan.
Okay.
Ooh.
Well,
that
renowned.
Was big.
I mean,
and this girl here, Ryan, is out of control. She's the best host ever, rapper, singer, producer, the whole nine. She's the whole package. Family, beautiful family. She's amazing. Superwoman.
Well, how'd you guys meet each other? Did you meet each other because of the show, or did you already know each other beforehand?
No, we knew each other beforehand. I knew of Sundra before Sundra had an opportunity to meet me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Sundra when she was playing for Ledisi. I knew her when she was touring around with Larry Graham. I knew of Sundra long before she knew my name. I was just a fan in the audience. But we had an opportunity to work with Tammy Hall, Tammy J. Hall, who is a legendary pianist, brought us all together, right? And we did some work honoring Nina Simone, and then we did some work out at the Monterey Jazz Festival together.
Uh-huh.
So we've been in concert for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. So I want to hear about how both of you got started in as performers. So
sure. I'll start.
All right.
I mean, you know, we could go back to the kitchen,
We can. I'm okay.
Cleaning dishes in grandma's kitchen and singing New Edition with my cousins. There's that. And I think we all have those kinds of beginnings. And
mm-hmm.
certainly the church, singing in the choir. I went to Axeful Gospel Church growing up. So I grew up in the kids' choir and the teen choir and all of that. Had a family legacy. My father plays guitar. My uncle was the lead singer of Collage Band.
Oh, wow.
And so I've been around music my entire life.
Okay.
I think that's not dissimilar from many people who get into music, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I was told, I was admonished to get a real career.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You know,
because you have black parents. Go on.
Hello. Black responsible parents who sent me off to college to do something altogether different. Mm-hmm. But I ran track and got injured. And in my time of recovering from my injury, I found my way to the stage.
Oh, okay.
And so I was in college for law. Studying law, but moonlighting as a spoken word artist and a theater artist. Mm-hmm. And when I came back home with my degrees, I was still moonlighting as a spoken word artist and a theater artist, and then adding music to it. And then it all evolved and took over my life, as I probably should have intended the whole time anyway.
Okay.
And became an MC some 20 years ago.
Did your parents get on board eventually?
Well, so long as I was paying my bills, yes.
All right.
They're certainly on board now. Yeah.
And how about you?
Similar story. I started in elementary school. Well, before elementary school, we were attending a Baptist church in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this lady always playing organ, and I was probably 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And so I would always just ease on up to the organ and sit there, and I was mesmerized by what she was doing. And I just watched her feet and her hands. And eventually my parents bought me this little toy organ.
Uh-huh.
And it was like play by colors or numbers or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would play that. It was only like a few octaves. So I would play air piano. I would run out of notes and start playing air piano along with the radio, just picking out songs. And my dad was like, is she okay? So then my mom eventually got me a piano, and I started classical lessons in elementary school. Then we joined a holiness church. And you know, it's like church all day Sunday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday rehearsals.
Wow. Practice.
So I was just surrounded by music. And my parents always had different kinds of music in the house, like country. My mom's into country and gospel. Dad's in the blues and Jimi Hendrix. And there was just music everywhere. So from there, I just really developed my ear, you know, learning music from the different musicians in church, and then studying the classical part in school and all that. And then later I went to college, SF State. Ooh. I majored in economics, thought I was going to be working at a bank. And then I had my first audition for this tour, and it got bit by the bug.
Wow.
And it was over.
Wait, no. Let's make a leap there. Because first you're in school doing accounting or economics. And then had you been auditioning for things that whole time, or was it
I did skip a little bit. So
glad you picked that one.
So well, during that in school, I was playing for all these community choirs and bands and this, that, and the other.
Right.
So, you know, meeting different musicians around town and playing for concerts and different events. And then I finished school at SF State and continue to play clubs and venues and festivals and all that, just meeting people along the way.
But still doing your economy gigs.
Yeah, I did work at a bank for a few months. And while I was at the bank, I had the audition. And then it was like, bye.
And who talked you into auditioning?
I was actually playing at a venue in Jack London Square, and someone from that camp saw me playing there and was like, hey, come check out this gig. So that's how it happened. And I had been also playing with like James Cleveland and some gospel artists.
Mm-hmm. Just gospel artists.
Getting
like
my
James
feet
Cleveland.
Wet.
Got it.
That
got
stuff.
It.
So,
okay.
So yeah, it kind of just, you know, all the stars aligned and just kind of fell together.
Okay. And were your parents on board?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
They were always on board. They were kind of like,
whatever you
want. Mom,
I
want to do this. Dad, I want to do that. And they were like, okay. You know, because I was taking care of myself and paying my own bills and all that at a young age from playing music, making money. Mm-hmm, so that was, they were cool with it.
But I love the idea of like your tiny little hands
doing
the air, you know, like,
yeah.
I can't
hear
those
organ.
Notes. Yeah. So sweet. I love that they supported you and got you the official piano so that you can actually do
it. Yeah, I'm grateful
for
that.
Yeah. Okay, so fast forward. Now you're working on, what is the name of the show? Because I'm going to butcher it.
It's okay. It's called In the Name of Love.
In the Name of Love.
Yes, In the Name of Love, honoring the music of Sly and the Family Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King. And this is the 22nd year that Live in Jazz has been doing this. Mm. So it's been called In the Name of Love, and they honor a different artist every year. Mm-hmm. That is in alignment with Dr. King's principles. So mm-hmm. it's not just art for art's right. sake. It's not just music that sounds good and makes us feel good. It's also mm-hmm. music that is deeply entrenched with the powerful, radical love of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Now, I many, many years back, I went to the Sly one, and there was like, there are all kinds of people. It's like Shelby and
Marcus Shelby.
Yeah. And there was like all the names just fell out of my head.
Yeah.
But I can see them. There was like a mad doctor there in his trench. And it was amazing. So I'm really thrilled that you guys are doing this again. So who are some of the musicians that are going to be there besides the two of you?
Yes, well, the phenomenal Sandra Manning, of course. Mm-hmm. The musical director is Kev Choice, so pianist, composer, Kev mm-hmm. Choice. Mm-hmm. There's David Moschler, who is the director mm-hmm. for the awesome orchestra. Ashling Biscuit Cole. Mm-hmm. We got Silky, the People's Champ. We've got Martin Luther McCoy.
Howard Wiley.
Yeah, Howard Wiley. I mean, go ahead, run it. Adrian Marcel. August Lee Stevens. Man, Johnny Five from Turf Inc. We're going to have dancers there as well. Black London. So we're talking mm-hmm. Mike Blankenship. Just literally some of the best musicians and performers, certainly this side of the Bay, but this mm-hmm. side of the Mississippi. Like, just phenomenal, phenomenal performers.
And have you worked with all of these people before?
I've worked with a good number of them, yeah.
Pretty much at one time or another.
Yeah, okay. In some capacity.
I think I've found that all over the world, when you no matter where you go, musicians in a town, they all know each other, and they'll like form a band for a night, and they're all like, you know, they're constantly like, they're like Legos. They're like constantly rebuilding.
Reconfiguring.
So music is amazing like that. It's like you never know who you're going to end up mm-hmm. meeting or playing with or creating with. It's pretty amazing. The people I've met just from jamming at one spot or another, and then you get a call and like, hey, come to Minneapolis to, you know, work with the Purple Man. It's like, what?
I haven't gotten that call yet.
Yeah. It's coming. Just keep doing what you're doing.
There's somebody
you never know what's going to happen. So
yeah, I'll be like, where's,
if you're out
where's
there and you're playing, record? Just keep playing.
Nice.
So when is it again?
January 17th at the Paramount Theater in Oakland.
What day of the week is that?
That is a Saturday.
This Saturday.
This Saturday. I know. Can you believe it? It's January already.
Okay.
We're in the second week of January. We're third
flying.
Almost. Yeah.
Fleeting.
So where can one get tickets?
Folks can get tickets on livingjazz.org. Mm-hmm. You can get tickets at Paramount, the Paramount Theater, if you happen to be walking by the box mm-hmm. office.
Oh, that's nice.
They're selling them there. You can get it on Paramount's website as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Ticketmaster.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so after this gig happens, do you guys have other gigs that you are doing?
Yes.
All right. We've got a few minutes, so let's talk about it. We'll start with Sandra.
There's always tons of stuff happening. You can look up my schedule on Instagram.com mm-hmm. or Facebook, and my name is spelled Sundra Manning, Manning. Okay. And also I wanted to mention that this Living Jazz concert also supports the Living Jazz camps that happen in the summer. Mm-hmm. I'm teaching at Jazz Camp West. I think it's in the end of June.
Okay.
And you can check their website. And it's an amazing, amazing camp. There's just music everywhere. Music in the woods, pianos all over the place, all the instruments. And it's such an amazing experience. I always say it's kind of like Disneyland for musicians because it's music all day, all night, literally, and all kinds of music. And you just learn so much from everyone. It's really great.
And what's the age range for?
I think for the jazz camp is for more like adults, maybe like 18 and higher and uh-huh, older. Uh-huh. And then the jam camp, which happens earlier or later in July, uh-huh. is for like maybe 7.
I think you're right.
To high you know, school. 18 or mm-hmm. something, 17 okay. like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Ryan, what are you doing?
I am doing another event honoring Dr. Martin Luther King, the day in service that happens on the 19th, I believe.
I've heard of that. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, Yerba Buena Center for the Arts tends to do a culminating event that all the folks who take the Freedom Train from the South Bay, they come down to San Francisco. There are folks that march down Mission Street. And they march into Yerba Buena Center and Yerba Buena Gardens. Mm-hmm. And there is a whole day of programming that happens. Okay. They program around technology and AI. They program around our history, certainly. We program music. The Glide Memorial Ensemble tends to come and sing.
Nice.
And yeah, so it's always a beautiful day. It's always, the weather always tends to be pretty great, so knock on wood that it continues to be great.
Okay.
Yeah, and there are performers, conversations that happen all throughout the day. Anything that you're into, there is something there to pique your interest.
And how do people like me, who have memories like Siv's, how do they find out online when all this is happening?
You can follow me as well. You can follow me on Instagram at Miss Ryan Nicole, MSRYANNICOLE, and I'm normally announcing something.
Okay. And then once more for our listening audience, when and where for the In the Name of Love?
In the Name of Love, honoring the music of Sly and the Family Stone, January 17th at 6 p.m. Come and hear Sundra Manny play the pipe organ. Mm-hmm. Show starts after that at 7 p.m., honoring the music of Sly and the Family Stone in the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Excellent. Right. Excellent. Well, we're out of time.
Look at that.
Look at that. So, ladies, I want to thank you both for being on the show today. I loved hearing about your musical journey. I'm going to think about that era because I just started. All right, I started piano lessons a year ago because I begged my parents for piano lessons.
Good for you.
No,
that's awesome.
Now I'm doing it.
This is great.
So I'm super happy about it. So I want to thank you both for being on the show today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. People of Earth, this is something you probably. You're going to want to check out. I went to I've been to a couple of them. I haven't been to a lot, but I've been to a couple, and they've always been amazing.
We'll see you this year.
That would be nice. All right. Well, you know what? Since they said it's for Sly and the Family Stone, I'm going to have to play one. This,
hey,
my
now.
Friends, If You Want Me to Stay.
If you want me to stay, I'll be around today to be available for you to see. I'm about to go, and then you'll know for me to stay, I got to be me. All about, you can't take me for granted and smile. Come on, please, I'm gone. Forget reaching me by phone, because I promise I'll be gone for a while. When you see me again, I hope that you have been the kind of person that you really are now. We got to get in straight. How could I ever be late? You're my woman, taking up my time. Oh, how could you ever allow? I wonder how. How would you get out of pocket for fun? How? When you know that you never number two. Number one, gonna be number one. I know I'd be good. I wish I could. I get this message over. Shape me again. I hope that you have been the kind of person you really are now. I'll be so good. I'll
wish I could get the message over to you now.
That's Donald Byrd and A Blues Walk from Bop Lives. And Sly and the Family Stone, If You Want Me to Stay, that is from the Dead Presidents soundtrack. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. The hits just keep on coming, because I've got Mark Bell in the house to talk about his upcoming show. Welcome.
Welcome to you, and thank you for this blue morning on this cold day with a very blue sky and some great blues on the radio.
So let's talk about how you got started playing music.
Well, I mean, we don't have enough time. My grandfather was born in the 1890s. My parents were born in the 1920s. And they eventually found their way here to San Francisco, led an exciting bohemian life. I had some great uncles and aunties, including Maya Angelou, that helped me learn about life and learn about music. And Auntie Maya used to say, because I called her Maya once, and she said,
no.
Mark, you call me Auntie Maya or Miss Angelou.
Mm,
and
yeah.
And she said, Mark, you're useless almost everywhere. She said, go over the piano and keep on playing that Henry Mancini. And from that, I got a book called Sounds and Scores by Henry Mancini that told you how to put an orchestra together.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just going to jump to here we are now.
Yeah. So wait, I've known you for like a bajillion years. You called Maya Angelou Auntie Maya.
Yeah. No, it's a trip.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is nuts to me. How do you not tell everybody this?
My parents had a stellar galaxy of friends. Mm-hmm. And there's certain points where you can't just say everything on your mind to people.
I guess, but yeah. You know, that's like, oh, my Auntie Maya, you think that would have come up at least once in conversation.
My father knew her and actually dated her when she was Marguerite Johnson. And he met her, I think, most likely through her mother, who was a merchant marine. And Maya at that time had a calypso act in North Beach, and my parents were denizens of North Beach, hence them knowing just so many people, Lenny mm-hmm. Bruce, the Smothers Brothers, mm-hmm. you know, just Lord Buckley, just a ton of very important people in our culture.
Wow. I'm blown away. All right. So basically you were anointed via your family to play music, and Maya basically said, you can't do anything else, so do that. And you were like, okay.
No, I mean, somebody that tall with a voice like that, who writes so well, who was so imperial in the finest
uh-huh.
of ways,
uh-huh.
I had to listen up.
Got it. So at what point did you feel like you were officially a musician? You know, so some people go, the first time they heard a song of theirs on the radio or the first time they worked with a specific musician, what was it? What was the one for you?
Well, it was almost immediate. One of my earliest memories is a woman screaming on stage, and Mickey Mouse was all distorted. And I was probably four or so, and we were at a Janis Joplin concert. And I said, Mom, what's wrong with Mickey, and why is that woman screaming so much?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then around my parents' house, again, I say they were bohemians, back in the analog days,
uh-huh.
People would come over the house, and they might know card tricks. They might know some blue jokes or some just very proper jokes.
Uh-huh.
They might just do imitations, and a lot of people would sit down at the piano. And we had to have something. My sisters, Jan and Jill, my sister Jill played flute. My sister Jan played piano.
Okay.
And sang. And we just had to do stuff. You know, we had to do stuff as part of this rolling variety act that was my family. But I was just thinking the other day, because some of my old classmates put it up on Facebook, I think really an important point in my life was I went to J. Eugene McAteer, which is now the School of the Arts here in San Francisco.
Okay.
And when I was 16, they said, we need a school song. And I listened to a lot of Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes,
oh, okay.
as I still do, which uh-huh. everybody should on this blue day with such a blue sky.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote a song that sounded a little bit like If You Don't Know Me By Now.
Okay.
But it was the McAteer school song. And this is bringing us back to 1978.
Okay.
And it was the first time I was called a composer. I played to a full house and led a choir at the piano along with Carl Magers, who was an amazing teacher in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I've got pictures of that just are a trip. Boy, you know, I was young. I was young.
Wow. But that was when you felt like, I've arrived. I'm officially a musician.
Well, you know, it's a treat to be called a composer.
Okay.
It's great to be a musician, but the hours are long and often the pay is low.
Ah.
And to be called a composer is wonderful, but, you know, it's sort of as my one of my mentors, William Winant, or Willie Winant, as we like to call him, he's a master percussionist. He said to me, Capel, you're a composer. And I said, why? Because every day you get up and you think about music and then you try to put yourself into it and create it and transform it and enliven it.
Okay. So fast forward to the upcoming show. Let's talk about that.
Please. It's the Red Room Orchestra in tribute to Mark Mothersbaugh. And to you who are not familiar with Mark Mothersbaugh, you may know of a group called Devo.
Okay.
He's the lead singer of that group. Uh-huh. With the energy hat, looks mm-hmm. like an upside-down red flower pot, uh-huh. but it's an energy dome. I've been schooled on that.
All right.
And we have an 18-piece group that is going to play not just some Devo songs, but mm-hmm. we're also going to do great portions of stuff of his soundtrack and TV music, which a lot of people, everybody's heard his music, mm-hmm. but isn't necessarily aware that, gosh, that's Mark Mothersbaugh.
Like what?
Rugrats.
Oh, really?
Yes. All the Pee Wee Herman music.
Really? No.
Yes.
Some of it is like that.
Danny Elfman. That's later on.
Oh, okay.
The theme, the song, you know, the song which is, you know, that's actually, it's billed as Ellen Page when you watch the credits, but that's Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, okay.
And so he did that. He's done more recently Cloudier with a Chance of Meatballs.
Oh,
he did the
okay.
Thor movie. He did the Rushmore film, which we're going to do some, all these films I mentioned, we're going to
wow.
do some music from. He did the Royal Tenenbaums. I mean, I'm guessing that he's scored at least hundreds of things at this point.
So that one director who's who did it, Royal Tenenbaums and Rushmore and all of that, he does a lot for them?
You know, early on, he was the go-to guy for Wes Anderson. He's used a variety of amazing composers, just a beautiful bouquet of geniuses over the years. But Mark was like his go-to guy for Bottle Rocket, Royal Tenenbaums. Yes, we'll be doing songs from Bottle Rocket, his earliest film.
All right.
And then, they just proceeded. And then he proceeded, once he knew he could do it, he kind of learned it under duress doing the Pee Wee stuff because they would film it in New York and he was in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before FedEx, UPS, and Amazon could get you stuff overnight. You know, and he would have to finish the work because it was a weekly show. He'd get the tape. He'd mail back the music.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does sound like duress because, you know, you just need one wrong zip code on it and they don't get it.
Yeah, you're just sitting there twiddling your energy dome.
So, like, how did you know that this was the person that was doing all, like, were you a Devo fan and you were following all of this? Or did you discover, like, oh, he did this and this and this?
No, I saw Devo when I was a teenager at the old Waldorf, mm-hmm. which is, I think, now a comedy club. I forget mm-hmm. the name of it. But and we would see them on TV. And one of the things they had was a version of Satisfaction.
Okay.
Which is exceptional. It's just a complete reworking and rethinking of that song. And The video was amazing, and there's this boogie boy baby sticking a fork into a toaster, which was something something I'd done too many times, and my parents would put me out in the rain sometimes for that. But yeah, so we, I'm guessing it's almost 9 years ago now, were approaching both the music of David Lynch and the music of Wes Anderson films.
Okay.
And so we put this group together initially to do music from a variety of David Lynch's TV projects and films. And so then we proceeded to put together a show, and we did the, did all of these in one night. It was Rushmore and Royal Tenenbaums. And at that time, we didn't know Mark well. So we took all those songs on our own and scored them and orchestrated them. And it was days, months of work. And you know, my imitation of a person who says no is it goes like this. No, no, no. He never said no, but eventually he said yes. And he'll be performing with the group on synthesizer and singing, telling some stories about the background of the group and where he sees things then, now, and in the future.
Wow.
And yeah, it's and it's a great, there's 37 pieces of music in this song. And again, it's an 18-piece ensemble.
So were you stunned when he finally said yes?
I was stunned and honored. I'm still.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So who are some of the other musicians that are going to be there with you guys?
Well, I got to shout out first to Tom Ayers, who helped me found this group, because we were sitting in Catalina, which is a lot like being stuck in the Red Room.
Oh,
and we had
okay.
to do a show, and I was sitting there going, waiting for the group to learn Wooly Bully or The Twist or something like that.
Okay.
And so Tom is the guitarist in the group. Alison Baker, who's a multi-talented musician, is also on guitars. Pete Strauss, who founded The Dwarves, an amazing punk rock group, is on bass. On drums is Jordan Glenn, a brilliant, brilliant composer as well as drummer, multi-percussionist. On percussion is the aforementioned Wooly Winant, who's played with Sonic Youth, John Cage, you just name it, just goes on for days. Just a brilliant, brilliant performer. Okay. I have Amber Lamprecht on English horn, flute, and oboe.
Wow.
Yeah. On the vocals, I've got the amazing Petra Hayden, who is the daughter of Charlie Hayden and is preternaturally talented. Karina Denike, who often performs with our group, who is from NOFX and a variety of groups, including the Dance Hall Crashers. She performs with us regularly.
Okay.
And then Meryl Press. And I'll finish this up now. It's a big group. I won't name everybody, but I'm just gonna get the top of the list. And I have to mention the string section, which is also exceptional. And that's led by Jess Ivory, cellist, vocalist. Mm-hmm. Irene Sazer, cellist, vocalist. These are some Bay Area folks that we count on all the time. And Michelle Walther on violin as well.
That's a lot of people.
Oh, wait. I've got a harpist.
Uh-oh.
Who doesn't need a harpist? Like, if you walked home and went, like you were winning on a game show, you would feel better about going to that empty fridge, right? So it's Jerry Gennaro Porcaro, who plays with Rufus Wainwright and runs a harp school over there in the East Bay. And he's a brilliant young musician that I bow down to.
Wow. I was saying to which you heard the interview earlier, that these you musicians, you're constantly reforming like Lego bricks. It's like you have like these 18 bricks that are going to make this show for the night. And then you all sort of scatter and go make other groups.
That's exactly it. I mean, it was so great to hear that last interview because Howard Wiley was mentioned, who's been in our group over the years and is very much a friend. He's a master musician, an incredible composer, and just a brilliant poet as well. So, yeah, you know, the core group has been around for 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. And literally at this point, between the comedians we've worked with, the actors we've worked with, it numbers up to about 100 people over the years.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
So in this show, you're doing a wide range of music. What would you say is the number that delighted you the most to be able to do?
There's a song that is rarely performed because it's, you know, as we say in the music business, a bit of a bear. And it's called Boogie Boy's Funeral.
Okay.
Very orchestral. Very almost goth, like almost like Viking goth, like boom, 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 and then it's, you know, and.
So what makes it a bear? What makes it difficult or challenging?
There's some counting and it's slow,
okay.
You know, and you know, as Ray Charles said, you got to be good to play fast, but you got to be great to play slow.
Oh, okay, okay. So it's got a challenging signature, or
slow is very hard for all of us in this fast paced world.
Okay,
it doesn't get any easier to be slow until you go slow, which I recommend on a daily basis. I do that every day. I get up and I go slow and I meditate and pray. And then I walk around the neighborhood, you know, a little less slow. And mm-hmm. I try to say hi at least to, you know, 10 mm-hmm. to 20 people. And then I go about doing what I do.
Okay, okay. So I believe you said it's this Sunday?
This Sunday.
Sunday.
At the Great American Music Hall. Mm-hmm. It's part of San Francisco Sketch Fest, who we have a long-time relationship. David Owen, one of the founders of that festival, is one of the patron saints of our group and has brought us to New York City to sell it on Broadway. He's brought us to Outside Lands, a variety of venues here in San Francisco. And, so it's at the Great American Music Hall. Frankly, my favorite club in the world.
So what time and where can people get tickets?
The show is at 8 o'clock, but I'd recommend getting there at 7 because uh-huh. we're going to play some very cool music okay. before the show.
Oh, okay. A little pre-show?
Well, no. Just like a little muse bush of stuff from the DJ.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to make a shout out to DJ Teddy from BFF.com or .org. I'm not sure which one it is, but mm-hmm. he's going to be playing some tunes and also putting some videos up.
Oh, okay.
And so the tickets are available at sfsketchfest.com mm-hmm. or at gamh.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if can people buy tickets at the door, or is it the kind of thing where it's like, oh, it's going to sell out, so maybe you should buy them in advance? What's the deal?
I would recommend keeping an eye on your social mediation. We'll let people know. We're at a low ticket point at this point.
Oh, okay.
I anticipate there'll be tickets at the door. But if you're the type of person that wants to take a little insurance on your evening, I would buy them in advance and just, you know, maybe have one less drink to cover the ticket charge.
Well, gosh, Mark, I sure wish that I had a pair of tickets to give away to my listening audience.
Hold on. Let me meditate on that.
Okay.
You do.
I do.
Yes. Paring, paring.
Paring, paring. So one more time, date and time and location.
Sunday. This Sunday, mm-hmm. January 18th, at the Great American Music Hall here in San Francisco as part of the San Francisco SF Sketch Fest. And the time is doors 7, show 8, and we'll have you home in time for the babysitter, but we're going to give you a good load of music, positivity, and frankly, anti-fascism.
And with that, Mark Appel, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Always a delight, Marilyn.
And people of Earth, we were thinking about maybe making you jump through a hoop to get these tickets, but you guys were so generous in giving us enough money to last for the year that I just want to give away this pair of tickets to whoever gives me, whoever's the first to call. Give me a
call. Lucky caller.
Call number one. Give me a call here at 415-346-5376, and you can win a pair of tickets to go see the show this Sunday.
Oh, look at that light blink. Here they come. Here they come.
We have our winner. Congratulations.
That's the Red Room Orchestra and Pink Room. That's an Angelo Badalamenti, David Lynch type song. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco, and it's just a cavalcade of amazingness. I feel very fortunate today. There is some dancing that's going to be happening that's going to be great from the Dance Brigade. Here to talk about Match Girl, I'd like to welcome Artistic Director Chrissy Kiefer. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
So tell me a little bit first about how did you get involved with Dance Brigade?
Oh, goodness gracious. I started a dance company in 1975
what?
Called the Wallflower Order Dance Collective. And we transitioned into Dance Brigade in 1984. And since that time, I've been running Dance Brigade and have done 101 projects in
wow.
the Bay Area, which we really consider our home.
Mm-hmm.
And currently we operate Dance Mission Theater at 24th and Mission,
oh,
where we
nice.
Do an enormous amount of activities from classes to performances, workshops, seminars, you name it. Mostly all of it has a strong theme of social justice and art activism.
Okay. So then let's talk about, before I ask you any like background stuff, let's talk about Match Girl with a lot of R's. So tell us
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, a lot of R's.
A lot of R's.
So yeah, Match Girl is a piece that I've been thinking about for a long time. I did the Little Match Girl when I was young, living in Cincinnati, Ohio. We did it as part of our holiday tradition,
mm-hmm.
and we, you know, it was a very grim tale, the Little Match Girl. So I've always thought about trying to redo it, and in an urban setting, also kind of coupled with my despair about the amount of drug addiction that was in San Francisco, especially during COVID. I felt like it really stood out, the number of people that were dying from fentanyl and overdoses, and coupled with the land grab that's been going on in San Francisco for many, many, many years now. So I set the Little Match Girl story in those conditions,
mm-hmm.
More than just the individual child who is prey to poverty, but how we're all, the whole system contributes to poverty and addiction and alienation. So that's the joyous subject matter that I'm working with.
So who all, like, how do you tell this story? Because in the original story, it's just the one little girl with the match.
Right.
So how do you tell this story? Do you tell it with just one person or multiple people?
No, there's 10 dancers.
Okay.
Who are also actors and singers, and they're comedians, and they also have a range of technique, and we do aerial work. So the show is actually very fun. It's funny, it's uplifting, and it's also devastating on a lot of levels, too, for a lot of people.
Mm.
Because drug addiction and fentanyl overdose, et cetera, goes across class lines at this point, as
mm-hmm.
we're seeing all over the place. So I said it in that context, and
mm-hmm.
the 10 dance, there's one girl who is the match girl, and everyone else plays the rest of the people in the community in which she resides.
Okay. So
yeah.
You mentioned that you have both dancers and comedians. Are the comedians also dancers?
No, the dancers are the comedians. It's got a very comic touch to it.
Oh,
as
okay.
well as it's not stand-up comedy. It's just
okay.
sort of physical comedy through
got it.
Dance and speaking.
And how does one... What is the process of developing to turn this fairy tale, this grim fairy tale, into a dance piece?
Right. Well, actually, you know, I did the most of the research on this 2 years ago, so I might not be able to name all my sources, but there was a series of podcasts I used to gather the material. It was specifically around the kind of situation downtown San Francisco, Tenderloin, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
and the kind of situation with the housing in that area. And the analysis of these podcasts, which was very fascinating to me, was that the crash of 2008 created a tsunami of poverty in the United States that's never really been recognized and definitely not rectified.
Mm-hmm.
So I really talk about the crash of 2008 and how much wealth that it wiped out and the whole land grab that went down with Spur and demolishing of neighborhoods and taking housing because downtown was too valuable for the people that were living there. It wasn't for poor people anymore. It was for rich people. And just really trying to show all of those different things, that it's not just the individual person who can't pull themselves up from the bootstrap. It's definitely overlaying activities that create the situation that we're in right now. And not just in San Francisco, nationally. I think most cities are in a crisis around the intersection of poverty and homelessness, the unhoused, and drug and drug addiction and overdose and all of that. And now cutting all the services, it's only going to get worse.
Right.
And housing is so much more expensive than it was even then. And the collapse of that whole industry and how it's going to affect people. And
yeah, and it's actually a global phenomenon as wealth gets more and more concentrated. So
yeah.
Okay. So, but in that, you're still able to find a little bit of levity, even in the midst of grimness, which is something that is kind of a hallmark of being a performer, is being able to find the tragedy in comedy and the comedy in tragedy.
Yes, I think that's really true, and I think that actually makes for a really more interesting work. I think irony at this point is super important, just how kind of what people say and what they actually do is kind of devastating, really. But we don't want to just, dwell in our anxieties and fears, which we all are kind of are mounting daily. I have to say, it's hard to keep your cool at this point.
Right.
And people are really trying to address that, too. So, I kind of wanted to put that in the piece, but I don't think I kind of wasn't successful in like trying to name what direction we should all go in now, because I listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of YouTube, and people are really like, how do we combat what's happening? What do we do?
Yeah.
And, it's disturbing and it's heartbreaking to try to figure out what direction we should all take.
It really is. And when you look at history and where this could go, it is it's imperative that we act, because you could end up with another Holocaust, another World War II, another World War I. You could just end up with these really bad outcomes, another Franco. I mean, the list goes on and on of what happens when you don't act.
Yes. Right. And also, like, what's the right action? Just, people are, like, talking about armed struggle and stuff, and then you read somebody like Chris Hedges, who's been around the world in all of this, and just say we're completely and utterly out-militarized. We should never go down that path. We have to keep doing the nonviolence path, even when we're provoked, like what happened in Minneapolis or what happened in L.A. at the border. And, it's really hard to keep one's cool. And, if we wanted to do a general strike, like, how would we do that when the unions are so weak at this point?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to figure out a strategy, like, how do we sit down against what's happening or stand up, whichever metaphor you want to choose. I know. So we make art. That's what we do. Those of us who are artists make art because it's what we know how to do. And it's, I was watching this piece yesterday in rehearsal, and I just thought it was a really good piece for right now, because people are so concerned with all the issues that we bring up and all the human relationships that get exposed, and really want a place to gather. And so coming to see Match Girl and gathering with us to watch these nine shows that we're going to do over 3 weeks is really good medicine, so to speak. And I just encourage, you know, your listeners to come see. We have ticket prices for all levels of the economy and accessible times. And, yeah, and right on the BART line. Dance Mission is right on the BART line.
And who's working on the show with you? Who's in it? Who's occupying these roles?
Well, we have I'm the director,
sure.
And I wrote the piece, and then Bianca Mendoza and Frederica Kiefer did the bulk of the choreography, and Harry Rubek is doing the lighting, and Jabari Tawa is doing the sound, and Lena Gachalian has done the video, and then I have Sarah Bush and Johanna Gormley, Kim Valmore, Debbie Taylor, KJ Dallow, Frances Sadayo, who is the match girl, mm-hmm. Megan Lowe is singing throughout the piece. She's got an amazing voice, and she sings quite a few contemporary songs to kind of get the message across. Mm-hmm. Dominique Hargrove and Sierra Tatia. So we've got a really exciting and beautiful cast to tell this story.
Okay, so when is opening night?
So opening night is this Saturday
at
7:30.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have a show Saturday and Sunday. We have a pre-dress rehearsal on Friday night at 7:30 if you want to come to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday and Sunday, and then the following Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the following Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Nice. And again, where can people get tickets for the show?
Tickets are on Eventbrite. And if you have a hard time figuring out Eventbrite, you can call Dance Mission at 415-826-4441. Or you can go to dancemissiontheater.org.
Excellent. And then once that show is done, what's next on the agenda?
Well, we are in the middle of a massive fundraising campaign to ensure our longevity in this financial collapse that we're in. So we're going to end our financial campaign with a big show at the Herbst Theater in June to celebrate the 25 years of Dance Mission Theater. So people can look forward to that in June, as well as we have tons of classes for ongoing for youth and adults, and there's other performance, Black Choreographers Festivals coming up in February. So there's just a lot going on all the time at Dance Mission.
And if people want to find out more about what Dance Mission's doing, how do they go about doing that?
Go to dancemissiontheater.org, and we have a website with lots and lots of information.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. And if there's one message you'd like our listeners to take away, what would that be?
See live art and keep the faith.
Excellent. Well, Chrissy Kiefer, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Okay, thank you so much for having me.
All right.
Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, people of Earth, this is your opportunity. There's so much good stuff happening. We are so lucky to live in a city that has all these amazing performers that do things that are worth seeing and worth supporting. Now more than ever, you need to understand that a city thrives and people thrive through community, through local interaction and local frequency, and just support local. I'm going to leave you. Mr. Ford's here to bless your ear hole, so I'm going to leave you with an old Blow Monkeys. This, my friends, until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo, because it's time to burn the rich. We'll be right back.
of angels by the giveaway price.